Those that are watching online, we want to welcome you today. We are thankful to have you on psmchurch.com, on Facebook Live. Some of you are listening right now via podcast. We're thankful to have each and every one of you. Let's give them a hand right now and welcome them to our service. Yes. How to be made whole. How to be made whole. We want to be whole. We want to be whole means more than just one little thing here, one little thing there fixed. It means our entirety, our whole being, body, soul, spirit. It means the surface, that part of us that we can all see and that everybody else can see. And it also means below the surface, those things that are way down deep that nobody can see and we might not even thought about for a long time. Wholeness comes from being. Wholeness comes from being. That's one of the main concepts of this whole message, is wholeness is not about doing something, it's about being someone. You can try your whole life to be whole. You can try this, you can try that, you can try this, try that, whatever. Different philosophies, different theologies. But the bottom line is that wholeness only comes from us being who God says that we are. And he says three things. First of all, wholeness comes from being accepted by God. So God says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I accept you. I want you. I love you. Come on, be with me. So we're accepted by God. Wholeness comes from us being accepted by God. But not just accepted as a friend or a servant or a slave or something like that, but accepted as God's kid. So wholeness comes from us being accepted by God and being in his family. So now when we pray, we can say, our Father who art in heaven, our Father, not just our Lord, our King. He is all those things, but he's also our Father because we are his kids. Wholeness also comes, we learned last week, from being okay with God in control. There's things that happen to us after we've been accepted by God, after we understand that we're God's kids, that we don't like. And so we try to change them, and we can change a lot of them. But at some point in our life, we come across things that we cannot change. We're out of control. We cannot fix them. And sometimes, God, when we pray for God to fix them, he doesn't really fix them either. They're just that way. But wholeness comes from us releasing the need for control. We let it go. If God's in control, that's enough. I don't have to be in control. That is where wholeness comes. Wholeness comes from being accepted by God, being God's child, being okay, letting God be God and you just be you. That's a big deal. So I want to spend today and next Sunday, I got one more Sunday in this, today and next Sunday, showing you how to live in this, how to let this flourish in your life. So this is it. I mean, there's no other bullet points that I feel like the Bible's telling us, but how do we stay in this? How do we live in this? How are we rooted in this so that we're not waffling around and we're not completely lost in the lies of the devil? Instead, we are rooted in the truth. This is the truth that's so clear from God's word. So that's what we're going to be doing today and next week. And I was just thinking, though, Valentine's Day was Wednesday. How did y'all do? Guys, how did y'all do? Thumbs up. In the last service, someone said there was no complaints. Like, wow, that's a very low standard, right? Well, she didn't complain, so. You kind of want more of a wow or a, oh, good, hi, I love you. Anyway, but no complaints is okay. As I told you last week, in our house, Valentine's is not a big deal. It's not a big celebration. We just show our love every day to each other, right? I mean, it's flowers and stuffed animals and roses. Not every day, is it? No, it's not. It's not every day. But I'm thinking back to when we first fell into infatuation. Not fell into love. I know that's what everybody says, that you fall into love, but I really don't believe you fall into love. It's not something you fall into. Love is a decision that you make, right? Because there's often times that love is challenged and it's not just like, oh, I love you. Oh. I fell into this and I didn't have any control and I'm just lost in love. No, that's not love. That's infatuation. That's a wonderful thing. God gives us that so that we can make a commitment of love toward each other while we're in that. And then after you get married, there are some great times. Those of you that are single, not married yet, please know that marriage is not all that bad, okay? There's a lot of great moments in marriage, right? Yes, my wife gave me an amen on that one. But the first few months, the first year, year and a half, in fact, secular psychologists have studied this, and they have said that period of infatuation, that buzz and all that, lasts 6 to 18 months. After 18 months, if you don't have love locked in and you don't have that commitment, you're going to go through some difficult times. So in that first buzz of excitement, you want to connect with one another. You do everything you can to connect to one another. And the thing that does that is talking to each other. You got to talk to each other. If you don't talk to each other, you're not going to learn anything about each other. You're not going to grow closer to each other. You have to talk to each other. You have to talk to each other. And talking is not something that is natural to me. I'm a very shy person to begin with. I know that's hard to understand when I'm up here every Sunday, but seriously, when I was growing up, I didn't want to talk to anybody. But at the same time, I was very interested in girls. So I had this very difficult situation. I was interested in girls, but I wasn't able to talk very well. I was like, how do I get over this? Well, in my day and time, back in the old days, there was no online chatting. There was no online anything, right? It was phone conversations. Everything was on the phone. And so I spent a lot of time on the phone when I was growing up talking to girls. My dad would say, are you in there breathing on the phone again? So what do you talk about? I don't know. You just talk. You try to talk. You try to find something to talk about. And back then, if you wanted to go hands-free, it was not a button you pushed, right? It was not Bluetooth. It was this big thing you stuck onto the phone. That big foam thing, that foam wedge. Y'all remember the foam wedge? That was hands-free. Then you could walk around. How you doing, right? You just talking on the phone? Well, you know. So anyway, you call like this, right? Call on the phone. And I think it'd be cool if iPhone came up with an app like that where you could still dial. That'd be cool. Pulse. Anyway, I digress. So I'm sitting there. I want to talk to this girl. She's pretty or whatever. I want to talk to her. I don't know what to say. I don't want to get on the phone and sound dumb and sound, what am I going to say? So I would get out a piece of paper, this is a true story, and a pen, and I would begin to think about every single thing that we had in common. And I had a bullet-pointed list, and I would say, we were in math together, we both ride the school bus, we both have an older sibling, we go to church, we're both on the soccer team. I'm just trying to think of everything that we have in common so that when she gets on the phone, I actually have something to say and not sound dumb or not sound, you know what. So you pick up the phone, you call, and her dad answers, hello. And I talk to whoever, Sarah, whoever. Yeah, hang on. So waiting, here she comes, hello. What's the first thing? Math class. Oh, you remember what happened? Hey, how, you know. So then you're like going down, trying to find some chemistry where that conversation can shift and you can just go freestyle, right? You just go off the list, just keep going. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're talking. You're building some relationship, making everything. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody else a complete wreck in junior high and high school? So, did you know this whole story? Okay. Now you know. So, and then if it ever, like, that pause, they're not talking, you just go back to the next bullet point, the next thing on the, oh yeah, school, okay. So you're going through that. I'm trying. And so this happened for a long time. This happened for a long time. Putting effort into it because there was two things happening. There was, I'm not good at this, but I want to do this. I'm not good at this, and I want to do this. So why am I telling you this story? Here's the deal. Some of us in here today need to get just as strategic and just as intentional with your relationship with God as you did with your wife or your husband or boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is. You need to be so intentional and so purpose-filled that you don't let anything get in your way, whether you don't have time, I'm not good at it, I've never done it before, I'm not sure how to do it, what if I sound dumb, what if, you know, all those things that stand in your way as an excuse. Instead, you need to put it in your mind, this is something I'm going to do because I want a relationship with God. I'm not very good at it, I'm far away from Him, but I'm going to do everything I can do to get connected to Him. This is what James said in the New Testament. If you draw near to Him, He's going to draw near to you. Easy, right? No, it's not. It's hard. We don't know what to say. Maybe you weren't raised in the culture of communication with God. Maybe you're raised in a church culture that was not very personal. There's many different church cultures all over the world, and there's many here in San Marcos where it's not very personal. It's more religious. It's very this way. I want to open up your idea that your connection to God, it can be something that's very personal. It can be something that's very feely, touchy-feely, believe it or not. It's a relationship. It's not just a tradition. It's a actual conversation where you're talking and you're listening. You're actually listening to what God would say to you. When I was younger, the church I grew up in, also called Promised Land, up in Austin, was on national television. And so their services were televised all over the nation. And we had a phone bank of prayer people that would answer the phone call. So the number would be on the bottom of the screen. If you need prayer today, please call this number. Someone will pray with you. Well, I was on the other end of that, me and four or five other people. And we'd be in there, and the phones would be ringing, and we'd be answering, hey, can I help you? And how can I pray for you? I'll never forget this elderly lady that called in one day. And when I talked to her, my heart was just like, oh, I feel you. Yes. I said, how can I pray for you today? And she said, hang on a second. Let me get my list. I said, oh, I know how you feel, sister. Do you have a list? Do you have a journal? Do you have an idea? Do you have an intentionality about your communication with God? Here's the truth. If we want to stay centered around all that stuff we've been preaching the last 6 weeks, the last 8 weeks, that stuff that was just on there about being accepted by God, about being loved as God's kid, if we want to be okay with God's plan, if we want to live in that beautiful state of wholeness, then we have to talk to God on a regular basis. That's what we've got to do. Let me try that one more time. If you want to live in the state of wholeness, you know, the state I'm talking about is that God created you, He loved you, He designed you with a specific purpose, and then the devil came in and messed everything up. We rebelled against God, we sinned against God, we've done things that are ugly and distasteful and rebellious, but then God loved us so much that He came to this earth in the form of Jesus, the form of man, God's Son, and gave His life to pay the price so that all of us in 2018, everybody in the building, everybody watching online, anyone that calls on the name of the Lord can be accepted by Him and loved by Him and forgiven by Him and His child and His kid. That's awesome news. That's beautiful news. But if you want to live in that news, I'm talking about every day from top to bottom, surface to core of your life, then you've got to talk to God on a regular basis. And some of you feel like you are new to this. How do I do this? I don't know. I don't have time or whatever. I'm so glad you came to church today. I want to share with you a very simple principle. Very, very simple principle is this, that this is about a personal conversation. It's about a personal relationship. And I'm going to say something right now that may feel a little bit offensive. I'm not trying to offend anybody, any denomination or anything like that. But I want to tell it to you like this so you can get a really clear picture, okay? If you were to having problems in your marriage and you were to go to a marriage counselor and the marriage counselor told you to go home, for me to go home to Erica and repeat, roses are red, violets are blue, sugar is sweet, and so are you. Repeat that 10 times, and then you're done. Do you think that Erica would really grasp the heart of my issue? No, she would not. Let me just go ahead and tell you. She would not. I love the Lord's Prayer, and I quote it almost on a daily basis. But simply quoting that over and over and over again is not the full depth of communication with God that I want to introduce you to. There is a depth of communication to God where you pray that and you quote that and you do that, but then you also say, Lord, let me just tell you what's on my heart right now. I'm hurting. I need help. I don't even know if you're up there or not. I can't even figure out if you, I just, Lord, I'm letting you know this is what, and so it's all about taking what is actually in here and pouring it out to him. And that's what prayer is. It's talking to God and then getting yourself in a posture, in a position to listen to God because he's actually going to be speaking to you. Now, just on the news this week, Mike Pence was criticized because he says that he listens to God, and there was a famous commentator on television said that she thought it was mental illness if you actually listen to Jesus. Let me just say, for the record, I would rather listen to Jesus than listen to her. Yes. Call me mentally ill. Call me mentally ill if you want, but I'm whole, okay? I'm a whole mentally ill person. Yes, Jesus speaks to me. He shares thoughts about me that feed me and are helpful to me, and I love it. So talking to God on a regular basis. When I was growing up, I'm glad my parents are here as a witness to this. If any of this you think is not true, you can come ask them, and they will tell you. When growing up, we were taught, you pray through. That was the term that was used. You pray through. Pray through what? Pray through whatever you're in right now. Your anger, your fear, your monotony, your boring life, your depression, whatever it is. You're here. God's there. I'm going to pray through this. You're not praying to try to please God, to try to convince him to come help you. You're praying to get you out of the way so that you can hear what God's saying to you. You're praying through yourself. That's what praying through is all about. And you do it until. Until what? Until you've prayed through. Prayed through what? Prayed through you, right? You just pray until you pray through you. That may be different for you than it is for me. It may be longer for you, maybe shorter for you. I may have a lot of me that I've got to pray through. I'm going to do that until I pray through Robin. Praying through, pressing in, being intentional, making a list if I have to, making out time on my calendar, forcing time into my account. I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray. I'm going to put God first today. I'm going to express myself. I'm going to let him know how I feel. I'm going to pray until. And when I was growing up, my grandmother, my dad's mom, Barbara Steele, she had 11 kids. And so all those kids had spouses and kids, and now my generation has kids, and there's even another generation now that's been born. And so you can imagine how many people were in her life. She taught all of us how to pray, but she didn't teach us how to pray with a dry erase board, with markers, you know, with charts and diagrams or lessons, right? She taught us how to pray by showing us how to pray and making us pray with her. So we're there for not Valentine's Day. We're there for Thanksgiving. I got Valentine's on my mind. We're there for Thanksgiving or Christmas. If we were there for Valentine's, it doesn't matter what day. We're there on a, just driving by. If there's two people or there's 100 people in the room, people start going, all right, well, see y'all later. Well, where are you going? Oh, no, you're not going anywhere. We haven't prayed yet. We haven't prayed yet. Everybody, let me have your attention. So-and-so's got to leave. That means we got to pray right now. Before anybody leaves, we're going to pray. And when we prayed at her house, it was not, kumbaya, my Lord. Again, I'm not judging that. I'm just telling you, if you want to connect with God, you pray. Until she had this chair, that this big, you know, armchair. This is all I got today to represent that. She's sitting in her chair. Everybody's talking. She's got beside her chair a Bible that is huge, and there's papers falling all out of it. She's got highlighters and pens. She's got it all marked up, and she's got almost the whole thing memorized anyway. She's been reading it so much. We're all about to leave, and she's like, "Stop, everybody! We gotta pray." And so we're going to pray. Everybody got to get your own spot. Everybody find your spot. Everybody, we're going to pray until. We're going to pray through right now. We're going to pray until the presence of God is in this place and everybody's filled with the power of His Spirit. But it's Thanksgiving. I know, but we're going to pray until. So she had to move, you know, it was like, boom, right here. This was her spot. She would lay down. Everybody else would get their spot. I remember this from just as a little kid, finding your spot, and you want to go play out. No, get over here, Robin, sit down. You're going to pray, get in your spot. You're going to pray. But I see my cousin, he escaped. He's outside. It doesn't matter. Sit down and pray. Right? So we would pray, and we still continue this to this day, even though she's passed away. She passed this amazing tradition on to my family that we get down and we pray. I know some of y'all can't see me over there, but this is just the way it is. We pray, we get down, and we begin to pray. And my grandmother would pray until, let me tell you something though, her until was about 15 seconds in. Boom, she was there. She was in the spirit. 15 seconds, 30 seconds. I mean, bam, she was right there. Lord, you know why? Because she prayed all the time. She was so used to connecting to God. Her and God were so tight that it was like best friends. As soon as she started talking to God, God was right there. She was right there. She had surrendered her heart. And she is emotional. It's an emotional time. We're crying. We're praying. Some people are shouting. Some people are speaking in tongues. Some people are quiet. Some people are walking. Some people are kneeling. I mean, this is a time of prayer until we pray through the mess that we're in. And she taught this over and over and over for 41 years now. This is our family tradition. We pray and we pray and we pray. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what it was like when you walked into that room, but after you prayed with Grandma, you experienced the presence of God and peace. Peace that passes all understanding, wholeness. You felt like you're going to make it. Why? Did anything change in your life? No, nothing changed in your life. But you prayed through yourself and you got connected to God. And if you're not familiar with this type of praying, I want to introduce you to it. What a gift this is to me to present this to you. What a great platform I have to present this to you. If you didn't have that family tradition, or if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, are you saying, Pastor, that we're praying through until we get what we want? No. Last week we talked about, Lord, plan A, I see you moving in plan A. If it's not in plan A, then Lord, I see you moving in plan. You could do it over here. I know you could. All right, but that's not what we're praying. We're not praying until A happens, or praying until B happens, or praying until C. We're praying until the grace of God, the power of God, the love of God replaces the lies of the enemy. So that you get so much lost in God's presence that you forget that you ask anything to begin with. I'm telling you, this is possible. This is the life of a prayer warrior. If this is new to you, you really want some help with this, every Sunday we have a group of prayer team that prayed before the 8:30 service over in the Student Center, room 316. On Tuesday mornings at 6 a.m., my mom leads a women's prayer session over in Student Center, 316, 6 a.m. Tuesday morning. If you're a guy, you want to learn how to do this, join us on Wednesday, 6 a.m. That's early. That's right, but we're not going to let anything get in our way. We're going to put it as a priority. We're going to make it a priority. If this is what is possible, I want it. I want to learn how to do it. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to touch the presence of God. I want to feel it. Our staff prays up here throughout the week, and we have prayer meetings as a staff where we pray together. And if you want to come to one of those prayer meetings, just call up here and say, when's the staff praying this week? And we'll let you know. Usually it's on Monday or Tuesday, 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll pray up here together. Here's what Jesus said about praying. Waiting until. When he was about to ascend into heaven after his resurrection from the dead, he told his disciples this very important thing. Go back to Jerusalem, which was just across the valley. Go back over there and wait until the promise of the Father comes to you. How long is that going to be, Jesus? Well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to tell you to pray until. Wait until. I want to know details here. I want to know how. I'm not going to tell you how. Don't worry about how. Just follow my directions. Pray until. Pray until. You're going to learn that the more you pray until gets there a lot quicker. It's awesome. It does. It happens a lot quicker. Why? Because your relationship's actually growing stronger. Isaiah 64:4, I read this last week. For since the world began, no ear has heard, no eye has seen a God like you who works for who? For those who wait for him. We want mind blown, eye never saw, ear never heard. We want it now, right? But that's not what it says. It says for those who wait until. For those who wait until. God's going to show up in your life, but he's looking for people. He's wanting a relationship where you are so energized and so passionate and so driven. I am going to pray until. Isaiah 40:30 says, even the youths shall faint and be weary. Some of you are older and you get weary and faint and tired and all that. But the Bible says even young people at some point will be faint and weary. They will. The young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What a powerful word of God. If you want to have the strength, if you want to have the power, if you want to have that ability to not be weary. It's not in another self-help book. It's not in the power of positive thinking. It's not in a certain diet or a certain herb or whatever. It's in waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. What are you doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, you could be a lot more productive. I'm waiting on the Lord. You should be anxious. You should be afraid. No. Because I know my God. I'm his kid. He loves me. He's accepted me. And I'm going to wait on him to make a way in my life. I'm going to pray until. I'm going to wait until. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. That is the God that we serve. The God that's bigger and better than anything we face. And so we're praying through the ugliness. We're praying through the selfishness, the situations of life. And it's the surface. You know, that 10% of our life is like an iceberg that everybody sees. And then there's 90% of an iceberg that no one ever sees. It's below the surface of the water. We're the same way. We got a surface of our life, and that's our cars, our houses, our jobs, our kids, everything that is on the surface of our life. We spend so much time, and that surface is so loud, right? It's so bills, health problems. People don't like you, bosses, study, finals, Texas State, what's your future? You haven't saved it, what, blah, surface is yelling at you. Prayer, we pray through that clutter down deep to the truth of God's word. When you're praying, you begin to hear the word of God and sense the word of God, and his word begins to come forth in your life. Greater is he that is within me than he that's in the world. They overcame their issues and their defeat by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. How do we know how to quote this? Well, we read the scripture, and then while we're praying, that scripture comes forth out of us, and we begin to dwell around the truth of what God says instead of being lied to and locked into the lies of the devil. We can find ourselves so entwined with the things of this world. Here's the deal. Here's the problem. We spend so much of our time feeding ourselves garbage that we don't have enough time to feed ourselves the truth. And when we do feed ourselves the truth, we're already full on lies. Just gorging ourselves on Fox News, CNN, Game of Thrones, House of Cards, eating it all up. Oh, I can watch this. It doesn't matter. Eat it all up. And then you wonder why you're struggling with fear, anxiousness, or not sure if you're going to make it or not. You've got all these mental things going on in your heart because you've been eating all the lies. Instead, God actually provides us a better way. You know, living in a culture where we're filled with political figures that are egotistical, power-hungry, entertainment figures that are all about sexual appetite and, the pride of life and all the things that we live in is nothing new. The culture that we live in of ungodliness, of problems, of pride and of jealousy and murder and terrorism and all the things, I mean, the heavy school shootings and all that kind of stuff is nothing new. They've been happening for thousands of years. The depravity and the ugliness of the world has been happening for thousands of years. So how do we live in a culture that is so ugly? How do we make it when it seems like everything is against us? Well, there's a man in the Bible that gives us the perfect example of what to do. He lived in a culture that was horrendous. They murdered people on mass scale. They didn't even have a concept of Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It wasn't even a blip on their radar. And not only did he live in this culture, he was employed by them. And he got his paycheck from this pagan government that couldn't care less about this God that he served or whatever. So as he's living his life, his name's Daniel. As he's living his life, he's going to work, he's doing his job, he's doing a good job, and he's admired, so much so that they get jealous of him, and his coworkers start conspiring against him. And they make a new policy at work. If you bow down and pray to any other god besides the ones that we've put up here, then we're going to write you a pink slip. Right? How many of y'all know this story? It was not a pink slip. It was you're going to get thrown into a lion's den. A little bit worse than getting fired. In our day and time, persecution is like, you know, people said bad stuff about me on Facebook, and, you know, I got booted out of that group, and, you know, all these terrible things that happened to people because of their faith. In his day and time, he was going to be thrown into a den of lions if he prayed. And what an amazing example Daniel is for all of us that live in this generation where we're, let's be honest, it is rough. It is bad. I don't want to mock everything. It's really, really tough. It's really, really difficult. But the good news is that you can be a fresh breath in a very dark world. You can be a light in a very dark world. So they have made this rule, anyone that prays and disregards this rule be thrown into the den of lions. And this is what I love. This passage is so powerful. Daniel 6 and 10. As soon as he heard it, he went home. He went in his upper room with his windows open. His windows open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees three times that day. Three times, and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel found his spot. And he didn't just find his spot and go, "Oh Lord, please help me," with the blinds closed, you know, and all. No, he goes to the windows, opens them up. How could he do this? Because Daniel knew that his intimacy with God and his prayer life, it was so authentic and real. It was not religion. It was not a habit just out of rote, traditional, liturgical, blah, 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 whatever you want to call it, just because he had to or he was just reciting. No, it was so real and so authentic. And when he connected to God in his prayer area, that meant more to him than the risk of being thrown into a den of lions. He opens the window and begins praying. The Bible says three times, but another verse says, as was his custom. This was not something new, like, oh my goodness, I've got to pray now because I'm going to die. No, he was already in the custom of praying. He's just doing his thing. Lion's den. It's nothing. Why? Because he was so intoxicated in a relationship, in a loving relationship with God Almighty. And to think of betraying God just because his life was being threatened, was not even in his thought process. That's what's so awesome about this. He went home and he just did what he always did. I want to keep on doing what I'm always doing. Let me tell you something. I want people at Promised Land to get in the custom, into the habit of finding a place of prayer where you connect with God and you pray through and you pray until, and you may be shouting it out, you may be crying, you may be peaceful, meditating. I don't know. That's completely up to you and your personality and your style. I pray different from my pastor just because I'm a different person. I have a different personality. I say things differently. I talk differently. I do it different times of day. I do it less frequently than he does. But that's just how I am. That's how I connect with God. Find a rhythm in your life where you can put God first. You can get into a conversation. This week in small groups, for those of you in classical groups, you're going to be talking about this, different ways to pray, how to have prayer times that are more listening, how to have prayer times that are more speaking. And then scripture. Everybody in here today could have and should have got a little piece of paper as you walked in. Different ways to read scripture. If we want to stay centered on God's word, we need to devour the word of God. Devour it. Hunger for the word of God. Hunger for it. So as you're praying and reading the Bible, it can be at the same time. You can take a scripture like a psalm, or maybe even one of the scriptures out of the New Testament, and maybe you haven't read the Bible enough to just quote it by memory. That's fine. You don't have to. You can take the Bible, and you can read it, and you can just say, as I'm reading this scripture right here, I'm praying it as my own personal prayer. Right here. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You're just praying it. You're praying the word of God. Devour the word of God. There's many different things on that handout that will help you, practical ways to help you read the word of God. I want a helper. Chris, come on up here. I want you to give us a little demonstration here of God. This is God right here. He's going to play God right now. Just stand there. That's all you got to do. Yes, there you go. But you're a loving God. Thank you. When we find salvation, we are submitted to God and we're repentant toward God, and He loves us. He does. He welcomes us. His arms are wide open. He's a loving Father. He forgives us, and we have a great relationship, and our life is centered around Him. This is a moment. This is a moment. And sometimes it lasts a few moments, like literal moments. Sometimes it lasts a few weeks or whatever, but then we get into life, and we kind of just get back into the rhythm of life, and we're sending emails and having meetings and having family discussions and financial, you know, all these things of life, and we can kind of find ourselves drifting away. What prayer does and what reading scripture does is it brings us back to the place where we're supposed to be. It's like a bank reconciliation where you have I don't know how many of y'all still do this, but if you have an actual checking book with paper and all that, and then you have a thing in the mail, a statement, and you put both of them together, and you're figuring out how they match, how they mirror, how they are different. That's bank reconciliation. That's what prayer does, and that's what reading scripture does, is it takes your life over here, your normal everyday life, and it takes the truth of God. So while I'm praying, I'm talking to God. When I'm reading scripture, I'm connecting to God. And so what prayer and reading scripture does is it reconciles my life over here and God. So the older you get in God, the more mature you get in God, you find yourself being aware of when you need to pray more often. And so when you're a beginner believer or whatever, you're like, oh man, I'm struggling or whatever. Well, the older, more mature you get, you're like, I need to pray. I need to connect with God. That's what that means. I'm drifting and I need to get back to Him. So now I'll be there and I'll be in my office and I'll just feel it and I'll just stop what I'm doing. I turn, everything off. I leave, I will tell them I'm leaving for a while, and I walk out here, and it's awesome to work here because we have a prayer trail, and anybody else that wants to come here and pray on our trail, you can do so. Just park in this lot here and walk. It's not labeled or marked right now, so you just kind of have to wander up through the woods, but you can see a trail. Anyway, as I'm walking up through those woods, I'm just saying, God, help me. I need strength. I don't understand what's going on. So-and-so just did that, and Erica's I don't know what, and I'm just trying to, So I'm praying. I'm talking. I'm just being honest, Lord. And then I'll think of a scripture. Then I will pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, give me focus. And then I start going back and praying and talking. As I'm walking up this hill toward the top, I can just feel myself praying through myself and getting closer to God. And it's no secret word that I say. It's no secret thing that I do. It's just having the mindset of I'm going to pray until I connect with God right now. And if emotionally I feel like shouting, I'll do that. If I feel like crying, I'll do that. If I feel like whispering, I'll do that. If I feel like just meditating, I'll do that. If I feel like reading the word, I'm just going to get with God. So some point up on that hill, as I'm walking around, I find myself connecting to God, and Robin's gone away, and I find myself submitted to God again. So now my perception of my life and the surface things that I'm dealing with are not as important anymore. Whatever they are, they're not as important anymore because prayer has repositioned me. And really, for this example to be flawless and perfect, Chris would need to be levitating or elevating off of the ground right now. I can't do that for you today, but because what happens in prayer is you go down and God is elevated and God is lifted up. And there's that's the perspective and the thing that happens. So this happens, what I'm talking about happens when you come to church on Sunday. The same thing happens. That's why we come to church on Sunday. We do this together as a group. It happens when we take communion together. It happens when we read scripture. This is the whole point of all this, is to connect to God. Let's pray right now. Chris, don't go too far. I guess get the mic, but don't go too far. Lord, in the name of Jesus, our message now to you is that we want you. We want a relationship with you. We want this to be real. We don't want this to just be fake. I don't want my grandma's relationship with you. I don't want my parents' relationship. I don't want my spouse's relationship with you or my pastor's. Lord, I want a relationship directly with you. Would you tell him that right now? Say, I want it. I want it for my own. I want my own personal connection to you. I want it, Lord. I want it. I want it. I want to be connected to you, God. And today is the day that we just lay down our own agenda. We lay down our own ideas of how it all should work. We surrender our thoughts of how everything should be. And we open up ourselves to you, Lord. Just prove yourself. Move through us. Make yourself known, God. We look to you, Jesus, as the door, as the way. Just let's confess our faith and our trust in him right now. Let's just say, Jesus, I believe in you. I trust in you, God. I trust in you, Jesus, as the way for me. I trust in you, Jesus, as the door for me. Lord, I want you, Lord. I call on your name today, Jesus, to be with us. And Lord, I pray as we leave out of this room today, as we leave and go back to our life, that we would put you first, that we would pray until, that we would pray and wait, that we would wait on you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, clap your hands right now.